Good morning. You all hear me? All right. Very good. What a joy to be with you all this morning in this novel manner that I seem to have gotten used to pretty fast. It's amazing how adaptable human beings are, especially to technology, or maybe, I don't know, just takes us over. I hope you're doing well. I know people are doing really variously right now. So there's a lot in our social sphere and our world environment that seems really very different to people, and we all have our different positions within that, and then we all have our own reactivities. So however you are, I'm really glad you're here. And I just want to extend my heart to you. And just want to acknowledge, you know, a lot of people I'm talking to are, they're just doing fine. You know, like, oh, I'm working at home. I don't even have to commute. It's kind of weird and funny. Yeah, a lot of people are doing like that. And then, you know, I've met or talked to, not meeting anyone really. I've talked to quite a few people. You know, online, some people are really struggling, having challenges with their health or just intense anxiety. People who have major economic challenges, extreme extroverts who feel like they're going to go completely bonkers sitting in their house all the time, all different kinds of people. And the truth is, I'm really disconnected from the people who are probably affected the most, you know. I know a lot of, you know, the people I can communicate with people tend to be people who have good access to internet and a device to communicate. And there are people, you know, many people in our community who are homeless or don't have access to those things. And so it's just important to remember them that however we're doing this, actually our Zen Center is a pretty privileged environment. You know, there are people here who are not privileged at all, but a lot of us are, and it's just good to keep that in our hearts. Because I could start to be like, oh, well, I'm just doing fine because I have Zen practice. It helps me be, you know, I can see that everything just arrives the way it does and respond to it with equanimity and joy. And it's like, well, all that came to me through a lot of conditions, and those conditions are not available to a lot of other people. So however we are, let's just hold, if we can, our whole world in our hearts, space for everyone. A cool thing that is happening here is that I see someone from Santa Barbara. I saw someone from New Mexico. We have people visiting here from all over the place, and that's a sweet thing that can happen right now. And I encourage everyone here to really take advantage of what is different about this and the novel uses of technology people have, and really reach out and find connections with people that you wouldn't normally be connected to. This is, anytime there's a transformation, there's an opportunity for that transformation to be beneficial. And as Zen practitioners, that's our calling, is to find that opportunity to make some beneficial moment out of what's happening now. This morning, oh, and I want to say just about that, you know, I've sat in front of this device right here now every day this week, except for Friday when MZMC is closed. We have Zazen 6 days a week, and I sat Zazen 6 days this week with my dear friends who I miss being with in an embodied way, but I can still have a sense of being with them. And I really encourage everybody to jump in and take advantage of that. It may seem strange, or you may see it doesn't matter, but if it matters to one person to feel connection through this medium, then even if it doesn't matter to you, if you come, you're making an offering. And this is about Dana. We can make our lives be about offering, giving, generosity. It's possible. So, my topic of my talk for today is love and things as it is. Love and things as it is. So I'm going to talk first about loving kindness, or as it is understood, metta or maitri in early Buddhist traditions. I'm going to talk a little bit about metta, and then I'm going to talk about as it isness or thusness, and then some other things are going to happen. So loving kindness. This is, generally considered one of the four immeasurable qualities, along with compassion, equanimity, and joy at the joys of others. But loving kindness is often considered most central, and this is just the quality of heart or of mind which wishes that people will be happy, that they'll be safe, that they'll be healthy, and they'll be at peace. Just wishing that for people. It's a very natural impulse, and it's really important. My guess is people are noticing it's happening right now. There's a lot of this waking up in people as things are challenging. And this aspiration or quality of heart and mind it's pretty primal, in my opinion. The tendency of any kind of being that's social to want the wellness of the people around them and themselves is pretty deep. Even if you think, I really struggle to have any sense of wanting myself to be happy, healthy, and safe. Some people have a lot of negative self-image. Well, from a psychological perspective, you constructed that unwillingness to feel that way out of a defense mechanism, out of a need to feel safe when you were young. So paradoxically, this is driving so much of our human behavior, this desire to be happy, healthy, safe, and at peace. And it's not just human. You can look at wolves and how they care for each other and how they grieve. They found grieving rituals among, I think, is it hippopotami, elephants? Amazing. And you see baboons, and they're just carefully grooming each other in these processes that are all about caring for each other's bodies and demonstrating that care and building a sense of community through that care. So this is something that's really basic to us. And of course, one of the problems with it is it becomes too boundaried. And so, you know, the baboon pack is incredibly bonded, but if another baboon pack comes, then they have a big fight. And that can be pretty harmful. So this desire for safety, health, and happiness can become overly boundaried and self-protective. And so in early Buddhist teachings on loving kindness, the emphasis is on developing and recognizing our capacity within the people that are close to us, and then constantly trying to expand the realm of people to which we can extend this quality of heart and mind. And I just got to say, you know, this is on my mind because it's so amazing, the response I'm seeing to the coronavirus pandemic among people all over the world, wanting to reach out. I mean, the incredible transformation of our communities, of people saying, yep, I'm just going to, I'll close my business. I'll just go in my house because I want to protect people. Human beings naturally do this. We need help and we fail, but we also naturally do it. And right now is kind of an opportunity to see a lot of it happening. Now, you can also say there's a lot of other things happening, and that's also true. But you know, I'm just emphasizing looking for the degree to which you see these novel, creative, and powerful manifestations of loving kindness among people all over the world. And I have to say, I mean, what I'm working on is finding ways for people to say, oh, we care about each other. We're willing to take collective action so we can do stuff and harness that. So when we come out of this, which we will in this case, we can say, oh yeah, climate change. We can actually do something. We care. We love each other. We want to be well. And we can, you know, climate change, other systemic damaging problems like patriarchy, racism, our economic system that is so brutal to so many people, that we can actually say we care about each other collectively, and we're going to step up and we can change because we showed that we did it. We could change a lot really fast. Wow. So this is an opportunity to build energy for our willingness to make a world that's really happy, healthy, and safe for everyone. I want to read you a little passage from the Pali Canon, which is the earliest record of Buddhist literature. And this is going to be Buddha talking about loving kindness. This is a good book. As good as it gets. Just as the radiance of all the stars does not equal a 16th part of the moon's radiance, but the moon's radiance surpasses them and shines forth bright and brilliant, even so, whatever grounds there are for making merit productive of a beneficial future birth, all these do not equal a 16th part of the liberation of mind by loving kindness. The liberation of mind by loving kindness surpasses them and shines forth bright and brilliant. Just as in the last month of the rainy season, in the autumn, when the sky is clear and free of clouds, the sun on ascending dispels the darkness of space and shines forth bright and brilliant. Even so, whatever grounds there are for making merit productive of a beneficial birth, all these do not equal a 16th part of the liberation of mind by loving kindness. The liberation of mind by loving kindness surpasses them and shines forth bright and brilliant. And just as in the night at the moment of dawn, the morning star shines forth bright and brilliant. Even so, whatever grounds there are for making merit productive of a beneficial birth, all these do not equal a 16th part of the liberation of mind by loving kindness. The liberation of mind by loving kindness surpasses them and shines forth bright and brilliant. Sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good. Liberation of mind, bright and brilliant. Yeah, we can do this. And it's a natural capacity, but we can cultivate it. That's a basic underpinning of Buddhist thought. We have these natural capacities and we can cultivate them. So the thing that may have stood out to you or maybe not was this thing about, oh, it's conducive to a beneficial future birth. Oh my goodness. I thought we didn't have to talk about rebirth at Minnesota Zen Meditation Center. Well, Buddhist teachings talk about it quite a bit. So if you want to talk about Buddhist teachings, you have to either pretend it's not there or you have to go, oh, well, what do we do with that? So I don't really know what's going to go on with our future births, but what I can say is this is really interesting in this case because in early Buddhism, the Buddhist teachings uphold what was a common, though by no means completely accepted viewpoint at the Buddhist time, that people move through a cycle of rebirths, and that cycle of rebirths produces suffering, and you can go from hell realms to animal realms to human realms to ghostly realms to God realms, where you feel really great and you're completely oblivious and ignorant of everyone else's suffering. Oh, sounds like America. Anyway, so sorry, that was a little dark, but we do have a little tendency to insulate with money, power, many of the people in this country so that we can feel, oh, I'm fine. Anyway, so he's saying, wow, with all this loving kindness, you can get to that God realm. Wow. And he's affirming it. It's like good to open up to that. But the crazy thing is, in most of the Buddhist teachings, he's saying, you don't want to do that at all. Because once you get to the God realm, and you have no suffering and you're oblivious, that obliviousness is ignorance, which is one of the principal karmic things that leads to rebirth in realms of suffering. So you will fall down and suffer again. And if you think, well, I don't really know anything about that, just think about your practical experience. When you have ignored suffering and just been like, everything's fine, have you managed to just stay in that position forever? I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. We get caught and we fall and we suffer. And all of this is shared by everyone. So even if we haven't seen it, someone is receiving the fruit of that ignorance. Everything is interdependent. So Buddha teaches, in this case, he's like, loving kindness is really great. Do it. It shines forth. It's going to liberate the mind. It's really good. But in most cases, he says, actually, this teaching is good. But what you want to do is completely get off that wheel. You want to completely get off that wheel. This is not about trying to get to the God realm at all. It's about trying to get to nirvana, which is just, as he usually defines it, not desiring, non-aversion, and non-ignorance. It's just being here, deeply recognizing the interdependence of everything without trying to get somewhere else or make something happen. So these two qualities actually live in harmony. And in fact, we can grow our desire to be able to just be radically present with what is and recognize interdependence using the quality of mind, which is loving kindness. So we say, I care about everyone. So I want to be able to hold the whole image of things and just be here with it. Just be here with people. Because maybe this sounds a little too abstract. In practical terms, there's a shadow to loving kindness, because if we say, well, I want to be happy. Well, sometimes we're not. So we go, I want to be happy and I'm not. I want to be safe and I'm not. I want everyone to be healthy, and that's probably never going to happen. So this aspiration is important. It awakens our heart. It opens us up to want to connect to people and to act, but it also creates a lot of attachment and it creates a lot of friction, because we say, oh, I know many people in this group. Your hearts are awakened. You care about people and you've walked into the fire for them. But then we come away and sometimes we're so burned because we want them to be something that they're not. We want ourselves to be something that we're not. We're not healthy and we want to be healthy. We're not happy and we want to be happy. We want our mind to shut up and it won't shut up. There's another way. There's another way that can go with this loving kindness, which is to practice just being with however it is, without any ideas about what it should be, or attempt to make it into something else. And this is what Zazen looks like. Our root practice in this tradition, just to sit, hear sounds, feel the body, feel the breathing, see things, have emotions arise, have thoughts arise, thoughts go away, emotions go away, sensations change, and just practice letting it all be there, being there with it, giving yourself to it. There's a lot of ways to talk about it. It's a little mysterious. It's a little mysterious. When Dongshan was leaving his teacher Yunyan, so the story goes, about 1,000 years ago, 1,200 years ago, Zen teacher Dongshan was trained for many years with Yunyan, and they appeared to be really, really close. And in the dialogue, I don't have the whole thing memorized or written down here, but it was pretty intimate. And you could see Yunyan, the teacher, he seemed like he's kind of sad that Dongshan's leaving. He's like, oh, really? Oh, wow, that's hard. We love people. We want to be together. We're always together, but we want to be together. So, anyway, Dongshan's like, I'm leaving. And Yun's okay. Dongshan says, so if anyone asks me, what is your dharma? What should I tell them? And I just like to say here, dharma means your teaching. And it also means your truth. And it also means your reality. So like for you, your dharma is the totality of what you're experiencing right now. What you're hearing, seeing, feeling, thinking, all the millions of conceptions that are occurring in your consciousness that you're not aware of. Wow, that's your dharma. That's your reality. But all dharma also means teaching. So Dongshan says, you know, if someone should ask me, Yunyan, what was your dharma? What should I tell them? And the case record says Yunyan remains silent for a long time. And then he said, just this is it. Just this is it. To be there with his student feeling sad because they were parting with whatever was in their senses, what they were seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, their bodies. It's like, this is it. This is complete. This is my complete teaching. And this is powerful. It's powerful. Loving kindness motivates us to care about ourselves, to care about people, to do things that can take care of people that are really, really important. But it can also motivate us to learn to be able to do this in a way that is about radical presence. I came to spiritual practice through recovery from addiction. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat across a table drinking a cup of coffee with a person who's trying to stay sober. And I'm just with them. And they have gone back out and used again. I mean, in the hundreds. And a whole bunch of them have died. It's really sad. And many of them have had radical and enormous transformations of their lives and found lives of love, service, joy, and really everything in between. Some people, you know, it's up and down, up and down. Yeah, all of that. And I learned through that practice that if I get stuck on wanting them to be well, I cannot serve and love them. Because I'll just get frustrated. Why do you do it again? So addiction is a beautiful model for understanding what samsara is, the system in which Buddha wants us to view how the world works. The suffering is vast. I know people, why do I keep getting up and saying the suffering is vast? And I do it with this gesture because once I open up to it, then I can say, all right, here we are again. Instead of the suffering is small and I'll control it and why isn't it doing what I want? I could just remember we're in this together. It's going to be hard, but we can do it with love. We can do it with joy. It's possible. It's possible. I think of like being with people who are terminally ill, just to be able to be there with them and not be like, oh, I wonder if you'll get better. Sometimes we find a great freedom at the moment of going beyond that and going, I'm just here with you now. I'm just here with you now, holding all of it. I might feel sad. I might feel joyful because you made a hilarious joke. Who knows? Just here. Beyond good and bad. So holding these two qualities of mind and types of practice, the practice of cultivating the desire and the awakened heart that wants people to be healthy, happy, safe, and at peace, and also being able to just say, whatever is here, I'm here with it. And we start with ourselves. Zen practice really emphasizes traditionally the as it is-ness side, the just this is it side. Sometimes we'll say it's like that quality of heart is like a unstated underlying continuum in a lot of the teachings. But we just, you know, you can just clean things with your whole being, not so that they'll get done, but just to do it. You can sit with yourself in the morning, not so that you'll finally get a clear mind, but just to be with yourself because you care about yourself. You could take care of simple tasks. And we have many of the people here, not all of us, but many of the people in this meeting probably have an excellent opportunity. There's not much leaving the house going on. So you have time to slow down and practice. Not everyone is in this position, but for those of us who are, please take advantage of it. How amazing. How amazing. By the way, let me just, practice period starting on Wednesday, and I'll be leading it, and Rosemary Taylor will be coming and doing some of the teachings, and I'm really happy about it. We'll be doing it using these kind of methods online, and it's a good time to heat up your practice. For a lot of us, it's like, oh, I can do this, because the thing is, like, you go, oh, I have to stay in my house, and then we get more frantic. Oh, lost opportunity. Lost opportunity. You can say, oh, I stay in my house. Maybe I'll sit down and slow down. Maybe I'll just sit and drink this cup of tea and look out the window and not have to do anything else. And then you can stand up and manifest that loving kindness. Send some money to Joyce Food Shelf. Food shelves are going to need food. And they can't, it's not a time for food delivery. Send money. You can find ways to reach out to people, look for ways to be supportive. That is very important as well. They go together. They go together. So anyway, when I talk about loving kindness from the Buddhist perspective, I usually am going to end up leading loving kindness meditation practice, and that is what is about to happen. So I'm looking around here. I know a lot of the people have done this before. But some of you may have not. So basically, we're just going to sit here. I'm going to guide you through a little process where we visualize people and we direct loving phrases towards them. And the main thing I'll say about this is I like to combine loving kindness practice, which is about cultivating this this bright, boundless, liberated heart of care, with just this is it practice. So as we do this, whatever feelings come up, whether they're wonderful, whether they're neutral, you don't have feelings about it, negative feelings, difficult feelings, whatever. See if you can just be with all of it. So we're going to do loving kindness practice, but we're going to infuse it with this quality of just being with anything that arises within ourselves. So I invite you to find a posture that's conducive to meditation for 15 minutes. This is going to be a somewhat brief. Pass through this. Normally, I like to have a little more time, but a little briefly. And I'll invite you to close your eyes, which is traditional for this practice and any kind of practice that involves visualization. And first, just bring the attention into the breath. And I'm going to invite you to really focus your attention on yourself. And we're going to begin to direct these loving phrases towards ourselves. And I would like to match the phrases with the breath on the exhalation. So the first couple cycles, I'm going to invite you to breathe with me to follow the cues. I'm going to inhale. As I exhale, say, may I be happy. I inhale, say, may I be healthy. Inhale, and as I exhale, may I be safe. I inhale, and as I exhale, may I be at peace. Again, inhale, may I be happy. Inhale, may I be healthy. Inhale, May I be safe. Inhale. May I be at peace. And just keep going. See if you can keep these phrases going with your exhalations. And if you don't remember all the phrases or get lost, just come back to may I be happy, which is pretty complete. Pretty complete. Let's just let these phrases go. Notice how you feel right now. And just think of someone you really love and care about, someone for whom your love and care is not too complicated. And just begin to focus on them in any way. You could picture them or just focus your mental attention on them. Now I invite you to begin to direct these phrases towards them. So I inhale. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you be at peace. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you be at peace. Just keep directing these loving phrases towards this beloved person. And just let these phrases go. Notice how you feel. And let's think of someone that we don't really have feelings about. So probably someone you don't know very well. Maybe just someone who works where you work that you don't talk too much, or a bus driver, or someone who waits at the same corner with you. Or someone towards whom your feelings are pretty neutral. Let's direct these loving phrases towards this person, towards whom our feelings are neutral. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you be at peace. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you be at peace. And just keep these phrases going. And let's let these phrases go. And just notice how we feel. So now I'm going to invite you to think of someone towards whom you have some aversive feelings. And if you've done this a lot, you can just choose. You have a sense of what's good for you. But if this is new to you, just choose someone who is a little bit annoying or troublesome. This is not the time to try someone who is, you think is completely beyond the pale or unforgivable or has done egregious harm to you and other people. We'll just start maybe with a colleague that when they come in the room, you are irritated or something minor. Just keep it simple. And whatever feelings arise as we direct loving phrases towards this person, just let those feelings arise. Just this is it. Let's direct these towards this person towards whom we have aversion. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you be at peace. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you be at peace. And just keep these phrases going. And now let's let those phrases go and just notice how you feel. And now let's bring ourselves back to mind and with ourselves, the beloved person we thought of earlier. And with the two of us, the person towards whom we have neutral feelings. And with the three of us, the person towards whom we have aversion. And towards all four of these people, let's begin to direct these phrases. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you be at peace. May you be happy. May you be healthy. So just keep these phrases going in your mind like an internal chant. And I will see if I can expand your visualization and the limits to where your love extends. So let's direct these phrases towards everyone in this online meeting. And then extending outward from wherever we are into our communities, our neighbors, little burrows on the ground with rabbits and little animals and insects, and into the treetops where the birds are, sweeping outwards to all different kinds of people, different languages, different cultures, different states of mind, different things. Occupying their lives across the waters to the fish, some still under the ice, and some out in the oceans as we extend love to people, not just throughout this continent, but across the oceans to the entire world, extending everywhere outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, extending kind wishes to everyone, everywhere, forever. Let's just let these phrases go. Notice how you feel. Bring the attention into the physical senses, the body, the visual field, sound, opening up the eyes. Yeah, feel free to relax the posture, stretch or adjust. Well, whatever happened, thank you. Thank you. It's always different. We never know. I put a drop of water and the ripples are, it's never the same. You might think it's the same. That's just mind. So, now what I want to do, I would like to make an offering of loving kindness to, the world with this group of people. So I hope you're willing. And what this is going to involve doing is making a screenshot video of this meeting for about 1 minute. And if you don't want to be in the video, you can just mute your, you can just turn off your camera, which is in the bottom left of your screen. See, Jeremy Thotland, our amazing technical wizard, pointing to where it is. So anyway, if you don't want to be in the thing, you can just shut it off. So it's going to be really simple. What I would like to do is in a minute, we're going to start recording. And I'm going to say, here's the message from the folks at Minnesota Zen Meditation Center. And then I would like four people to say the phrases, and I'm going to ask people to say the phrase. I'm going to ask people if they're willing. So may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe, may you be at peace. And then I'll offer a brief dedication of merit, and at the end of that, I will bow, and I'll invite you all to bow with me. And that will be the end of our offering, and then we'll have a little video, and we can share it, and we'll send it to anybody who's on the Minnesota Zen Meditation Center mailing list, and you can share it with people. So if you want to extend what we're doing to people, you can send it to your friends in emails, you can put it on your social networks, and they can go, "What's this?" And they'll see 25 people saying, "May you be happy," because we care. I hope that this is true. So I'm going to now ask people to be the sayers of things. And I'm looking at my screen. Margaret, would you be willing to say, "May you be happy"? I need you to check your mic. Mic checker.
There.
Can you say, so we can hear it's going to come?
May you be happy.
Yeah. So you want to lean forward and say it. How about, Wahida, would you be willing to do one? Can you check your little mic?
Yeah.
Am I hearing you?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yep. We're good. Let's see. Santa Barbara Tom. That's not really his name. He's not a gunslinger. Hey, Tom, would you be willing to, say, may you be safe?
Yes, I'll say, may you be safe.
Thank you very much.
Ready.
How about Paola? Would you be willing to say, may you be at peace? We're not hearing you, though. Yes. Can you just say it so we can hear that it's going to come through? Uh-oh. Crystal. I'm really excited that there's a baby in this meeting, and everyone should scroll through the screenshots to see the baby, because that'll make your life way better. But it's nice to see you. I think we need you to be muted. Thank you very much. Bye. I think we're still getting a little baby sound in there that may cause, thank you. It'll make us all happy, but it won't improve the video probably. Thank you. Okay, so I think we have Margaret, Wahida, Tom, Paula, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe, and you may be at peace. All of you, if you're going to do this, you do want to lean into the mic and speak strongly.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's weird because people go, I don't hear anything. Okay, well, is everyone ready?
Yes.
It's going to be exciting. Are we just editing this out, Jeremy? Okay, we're good. Okay, well, here we go. You can smile. There's nothing wrong with that. 3, 2, 1.
May you be happy.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to make an introduction.
Okay.
And then you can do your thing. And you'll know. I'll say, here's a message from the folks at Minnesota Zen Meditation Center. Boom.
Okay.
All right. Cue orchestra. 3, 2, 1. Here is a message from the folks at Minnesota Zen Meditation Center.
May you be happy.
May you be healthy.
May you be safe.
May you be at peace.
May all the benefit of our practice together today here be an offering to the liberation of everyone, everywhere, forever, so that we may all realize our interdependence, which is already here. May you be at peace. Okay, thanks. Well, I hope you didn't feel bad being pressed into service, loving everybody. Hopefully that can bring a little joy to people. So watch your inboxes, and it'll probably be up on the MZMC Facebook page as well. And yeah, sharing is good. I can say I've been making these little screenshot videos for a couple weeks, bringing in teachers and clerics from various religious traditions, and I felt a little awkward sharing it with people, and people just seem to love it. People need positive messages of connection and care. This is a great opportunity.